We know that the holidays are now behind us, and it's great to have them, and then it's great when they go by. Just the way that it is, right? We need to move on, and that's what we move on. And here at New Life, many times doors are opening all the time, and the door closes. Before that door closes, we're opening up another door. It's just the way it is, I guess, around here. But we are doing getting ready to go. Some new things here coming up here. So next week, not tomorrow, but the following Monday, we begin. We have a fast. So we'll be talking more about that at the end of service today, just for a few moments. But we need to be praying about that. And so there's some good things that are coming up. And had a good, great year. We'll talk about that later also on Vision Day. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 27 today. Have you heard the expression, we don't want it to rain on my parade, right? You don't want it to rain on a parade. Well, today we're going to go a little bit past that. We're not going to cry over raindrops, but we're going to talk about what happens when we're going to talk about Paul in the time of a storm. And so we're going to go in that direction this morning, because I want to just tell you that storms are going to come in your life. They're just going to come. It'll come for those who are saved, those who are not saved. It's going to come. Sometimes you see them coming, and other times you don't. They can just come out of the blue. We're going to look at a piece here where Paul is—he's arrested. He's wanted to go. He just made his peace there, made his whole pledge peace there that he wants to go to Rome, wants to be heard by Caesar. All the other things. There's a lot there in the previous part, but he's being put on a ship, and he is going to head, and they're going to head to Rome. But some things are going to happen, because what happens is people have plans in life, but then we get sidetracked. We get things that happen in life, and we have storms in life that happen. And I think in these storms, what we find out is really who are you, and who do you really believe in, and who are you in these storms? That defines who you are. It's easy to be a Christian on a good day. It's easy to be a Christian when you're feeling the blessings of God. And the blessings are raining all over you. And it's great to be a Christian when your prayers are being answered. But what about when they're not? What about when things are in front of you and you're wondering why things are happening in your family, why things are happening in your life, why things are happening to you health-wise, whatever it may be, and you're wondering why? What we pick up here with Paul is we see that there's several of these several people on this ship. I'm going to be in chapter 27, and as we go through 27, we're going to see, I'm going to read a few more scriptures than normal. Book of Acts. And I'm not the only one coughing today, right? I don't know why, but yeah. So they're on this ship, and they got a plan. I've had plans before. You've had plans before? Didn't quite go the way you thought. Didn't get there the way you thought you were going to get there. It says in verse 13, when a gentle south wind sprang up, they thought that they had achieved their purpose. They weighed an anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But not long afterwards, a fierce wind called the northeastern rushed down from the island. They had a plan. They thought it was going to work. They were going in that direction, but a storm comes up. A storm. It started off with a gentle wind, and then the wind picks up, and then the storm is on them. Nobody likes to be in a storm. Nobody likes to be in a storm. This storm begins to beat on this ship really hard. This was a big storm. This wasn't an easy one. This was a big one. We'll find out. It lasted quite a while. We are kind of like the weather the last couple of days, because the sun's shining. You know, when you're going through a storm and the storm begins, the sun doesn't shine. Matter of fact, it stops shining. Kind of steals our joy. kind of steals the smile on your face. It kind of takes the pep in your step away. Kind of brings the chin from being up to going down. It says in verse 20, for many days neither the sun nor stars appeared, and the severe storm kept raging, and finally all hope that we would be saved was disappearing. There's nothing more harder when you're going through a storm and you think it's going to go away today, but it doesn't. And you think it's going to go away the next day, and it doesn't. And the storm continues to battle and rage, and the sun is not shining. None of those things are there. And we get into a moment where we start to get discouraged, and when we can get into that depressive, and we get down, and we just feel a sense of hopelessness, and all of a sudden, our hope that we had begins to disappear. You begin to see people's faith when you're in a storm, whether it's a large group of people or your family or what have you, whatever size it is. The deeper you get into the storm, the more some of those who are in there, you will see the power of each one's faith. Someone's faith will begin to drop, but it's okay. Not everyone is at the same level. Not everyone is at the same place. And then another day, another person's level will drop, whether it's family or it's friends, Christian friends, or it's a church, and people's faith will begin to drop. And the scriptures here said they began to become discouraged because hope to them was disappearing. He moves on to verse 21 as he writes. He says, since many were going without food, Paul stood up among them and said, you men should have followed my advice. There was a moment prior to them leaving that Paul went up to the centurion, the leader of the Roman soldiers, the guard that were going to lead him and some other people, some other prisoners, to Rome. He told them and warned them that we are going to go through a hard time. We don't need to leave right now. But the Bible says the centurion didn't listen to Paul, but he listened to the boat owner. Because the boat owner is in it for one thing, what? To make money. He's ready. He don't make money unless his boat's out at sea. If it's sitting in the dock, he's not making money. He wants to put out to sea. So they were going without food, and Paul stood among them and said, you men should have followed my advice not to sail from Crete and sustain this damage and loss. Now I urge you to take courage, because there will be no loss of any of your lives, but only the ship. For this night an angel of the Lord I belong to and serve stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and look, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, take courage, men, because I believe God that it will be just the way as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. He didn't know all the details, but he knew that there was going to be a way through this. There is a hope, peace. I want to tell you that those of you that are strong Christians, no matter what you're going through, there's going to be people around you that are going to be discouraged, whatever storm you're going through, however many there are. But it is that Christians ought to be leaders. The world should not lead Christians, but the Christians should lead the world. We lead different than the world does. We are not to be leading out of fear, out of personal gain. We don't lead out for power struggles. We don't lead out of those things and those purposes. But we lead from the Spirit of God. And that is different than what the world is. The world is about gain, about power and power struggles and those things. And a name to be sought and to be honored and a name to be in fame. But that's not for us as Christian leaders. And most of you, if I tell you to look at me right now, most of you, I say, you need to be a Christian leader. And many of you say, I don't want to be one because you don't want the responsibility. You don't want it, but God expects you to be one. There's going to be times in your lives where you're going to need to be a leader. And not just a leader, but a Christian leader. And a Christian leader knows that he has something that the world does not have. He has God. And God visits in the night. God visits in the storms. God visits and gives us and speaks to us through His Word. He speaks through us in many different ways. And here, God chose an angel to speak to Paul. And Paul comes up and he speaks to them. And it's almost now the leadership is beginning to change in the storm. The leadership will begin to change in the storm. Now, there are some great things that happen. Let me back up here. In the Civil War, you have General Lee in the South, and you've got Grant in the North, and you've got this big power struggle. It's a Civil War. It's Americans against Americans. No other time in any other war were Americans killed more than the Civil War, because almost everyone that was getting killed was an American. We had a Civil War. And in that, we look at these things and what the world looks at. But God does bigger things than what the world looks at. We see the history books of who won the North. We see the South. We see down the tearing down of statues, all the things you want to look at they're doing today. But there's something that's not much has been written about it. But I want to tell you that leadership rose in the South. Now pay attention to me now. This is good. The North may have won the physical war. And all the things that America is what it is today, whatever. And it's good. There's some things that needed to be abolished. There's some things that needed to change. It doesn't make the South evil people. But some things needed to be done. But something happened in the South that did not happen in the North. There were some people in the South that began to pray, even through that God began to do a great revival. A great awakening was arising about who Jesus was. And the after effect of it is that churches began to blow up in the South. Let me just finish it up real quick. Where is the Bible Belt? That's all I got to say. Where is the Bible Belt? It's in the South. There's a church on every corner. God is amazing. God sees a bigger picture in the storm. They're in this storm, and it's going on in verse 27. It says they're into their 14th night. Into their 14th night. 15 days, 14 nights. Here it is. They're in the storm. And it says, now they're out in the Adriatic Sea. Now, me and Carla went on vacation when we were in the military. Only one time we could afford one. And it was on the first sea ocean I ever seen was the Adriatic Sea. And it's cold as ice. It was cold in the summer. We didn't even go swimming. I was like, it's too cold. And we were in the summer. Adriatic Sea. And it's wavy. It's choppy. It's choppy. And they were there in the 14 nights they were going through this, and they began to drop some anchors. Now, an anchor is supposed to hold you in your spot. They dropped four anchors. Boom. And these were not little ones. These were big ones. They wanted to figure out how they can ride this out. It's 14 nights. And they dropped these anchors, and it says that they prayed for daylight. We need to see where we are, because remember, you could not see any stars. There was no light. Here it is. They're going through a storm. And that's how we feel when we're going through storms, that we don't see a way out. But a Christian says this: I may not see a way out, but I know there's a way out. Because I know there is a way out, but it's only through God. It is only through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will I find my way out. And God wants us to call upon Him. And it says, they prayed for the night. They prayed for daylight. Prayed for daylight. But here's what happens. When there's a storm, people panic. Just like in the Titanic. People panic. They just panic. Just like you do when you have a financial crunch. Just like you do when you have a health issue. Just like you do when divorce is starting to pop up in your... Just like you do when there's a loss in your family. Just like you do when they come to take your car away or to tell you they're coming to repossess or they're coming to kick you out of your home. We panic. People are panicking on the boat. Now, we're talking about Roman soldiers, and we're talking about prisoners, and some other merchants are gone there. The Bible says there were 276 people on this boat. So it's kind of a big one. They have already dropped the anchors. And verse 30 tells us something. Some sailors try to escape from the ship. There's always somebody wanting to abandon. They'll love you, and when you get into a storm, they'll do this number. They don't want to be a part of you no more because you're not helping them. You are actually becoming a problem. And they will jump ship. And people will turn around and they'll do that. And then people panic in these storms and they'll want to jump off. And it says sailors began, they wanted to try to escape this ship. They were done. And they began to try to let down some things. They were pretending that they were going to go out and put some anchors down, do this kind of stuff. But Paul saw them. And Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, he says, to the boss, to the leader, the centurion, he says, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. That's all Paul said. Unless these men stay in the ship, cannot be saved. Now, they've had some nights together. Paul has went from this, he's actually almost leading at this point. He's leading a lot. And this centurion, so basically it says, then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the skiff and they let it drop away. So the sailors that know how to run the ship, they are wanting to leave. But the soldiers come over and they cut the ropes and says, you're not leaving, you're with us. We're going down, we all going down. You ain't getting out of here. And that's exactly how we ought to be as a family and the church. That's exactly how we ought to be when our family is hurting and our family is going through a storm, that we stick together the best that we can. Because you're a brother and a sister in Christ, and we ought to ride this storm out together. But too many people abandon because they can't take the pressure. They can't take it. They can't take the storm. But I'll tell you, if people, you know, some of us do, we jump the ship, we jump storm, because there's a storm, we jump ship, and then we go over to another place, and the storm starts there, and we jump ship there, and we go to another place, and we just hop around to churches, we hop around to things, and I want to tell you, you need to ride the storm out. You need to ride the storm out, no matter how hard it gets. And it says, when it was about daylight, Paul urged them to take some food. And he begins to talk to them on this 14th day. He says, since none of you, he says this, therefore I urge you to take some food, for this is good for your survival. Since none of you will lose a hair on your head. That's an encouragement, but how do you know that? We'll come back to that. After he said these things, and he had taken some bread, and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Now, I don't know if you know, that's a moment of awesomeness. He tells them to eat. It's like I said, now it's almost like he's in charge. He tells them it's time to eat. And he gave bread, and he thanks God for the food in the storm. How many of us thank God for what we have even when we're going through a storm? How many of us can praise Him and thank Him when we're all doing this, sliding from one side to the next, down to the bottom, to the top, and we're still praising Him? And they give thanks. He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Those who believed, because there were other believers on there, and those who didn't, they all partook of that. And when He broke it, He began to eat. And then it says, they all became encouraged. And they took for themselves food. In all, there was 276 of us on the ship. And when they have eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing the grain overboard into the sea. They're at a place now, they're beginning to do that. They've gotten some encouragement. I want to tell you, in a storm, you can find encouragement. Where did that encouragement come from? It comes from praising God and thanking God through that prayer. They thanked God for what they had. Many of us, and there's nothing wrong with praying about the storm to leave. There's nothing wrong about praying for the situation at hand. But sometimes, even if you're in a storm, it's best sometimes not to say anything, because God already knows you're in the storm. He already knows what you're going through. But if you can surpass and overlook all that and just give Him praise, I'm telling you, you're stepping up in your walk with God. You're stepping up with your walk and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you truly believe... See, Paul believed in what the angels... Paul believed that nothing's going to happen to us. We're going to lose the ship, but nothing's going to happen to us if we all stay on the ship. And they began to get encouraged. Sometimes all it takes is one person who's in the storm, not to truly just see the storm, but to see outside the storm. To look... not at the storm, at what you see physically, but what you see spiritually. And what happens spiritually encourages us physically and spiritually. So you can go through a storm and be strong. You can go through a storm and be strong. Now, they've been going through this for a couple of weeks. Some of us have a hard time going through a storm for one day. Some of us struggle after 3 or 4 days. Some of us, we just don't make it through storms. We just don't. We don't do well. We don't do well. And that's because we look too much at the storm and not enough at God. So some things are happening. They're still going through this storm. Verse 41, but they struck a sandbar. What they wanted to do is run this ship ashore. We'll run it up as far as we can. If we see an island, we're going to run up there as close as we can. And we're going to get off on this island. But the Bible says, but they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. They hit a sandbar. They saw the island, or they didn't get as close as they wanted to. They hit a sandbar. Uh-oh, they know this isn't good. They've already thrown everything overboard, all that stuff to lighten the load. They didn't want to sink. But the Bible says that the waves kept pounding, and the stern was beginning to break. The ship was beginning to break up. There's nothing like seeing a glimpse of hope, and then it looks like your hope is diminishing right in front of you. Like seeing the way out, and all of a sudden it kind of goes open, the bright sunshine comes through, and all of a sudden it's starting to close. And there was just no way. And it says the soldiers, the sailors wanted to jump ship. We're going to get our own boat. We're out of here. And the soldiers came up and cut the ropes, said, nope, that's not going to happen. We're going to cut those ropes. We're going to keep those things here. We're going to keep whatever they're going to do. But they weren't going to leave. Let them leave. Now verse 42 tells a different story. Now they're at the place and they're like, okay, now we're coming to the end of this. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one could swim away and escape. Because we know that a Roman soldier, if you lost a prisoner, and your prisoner escaped, and you have to give your life up. So if you had one prisoner, and your prisoner left, then you have to take his spot, and then you're going to be put to death. If he escapes, then you pay the price. But they didn't want to mess with it. They didn't want to mess with these guys, because there was probably more prisoners than the soldiers, or they were just believing that they were going to escape. We don't, but they were just thinking they were going to escape. It always looks like the Christian's got his back against the wall. It really does. And even in our life today, it always looks like the Christian. Some of you get too wrapped up into politics. Listen, God sits on the throne. He's got it all in His hands. You stress too much. You stress way too much. Oh, I don't want this person to be House. I don't want this person to be president. Listen, just talk to God about it. Do your vote and go on. Because it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. We just can't get our eyes... Listen, you spend as much time looking about the politics stuff and not about God's Word, your person probably don't do well in storms. Let me tell you, people come and go, but God is here forever. You're not getting any younger. Y'all are getting older just like me. There's an assigned death for each one of us. But God is eternal. Presidents come and presidents go. Kings come and queens go. A generation's here and then a generation passes away. But the Lord is forever. He's everlasting. He's eternal. You get caught up too much in the world politics and not enough up in what God's Word tells us. Stand firm in your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith. Storm's raging. They've hit a sandbar. That means the ship is sinking. The ship is done. We're not going any further. And then people want to take action. Soldiers want to kill. Sailors want to sail. Prisoners are just there. But let me tell you that the scripture tells us, but the centurion kept them from carrying out their plan because he wanted to save Paul. So he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to the land. People are watching how you make decisions in your life. But no more are they watching. They watch you more when things are not going well for you on how are you going to respond. How are you going to react? This centurion, the leader of the soldiers, was watching Paul. Paul kept his calmness. Calm. Paul stayed strong. He was seeing Paul as a leader. He was seeing Paul wasn't doing what everyone else was doing. Paul was praying, not praying mercy for our lives, but giving thanks to God for what they did have to eat. This moved the centurion. God is a part of all of this. So I'm going to tell you how you act in the storms in your life. Other people are watching. They're watching you on how you're going to make decisions and choices that you need to make when you're going through those storms. And through that, those who could swim, those who could get out, they began to swim first. There's an orderly way of doing this. And then it says for those who couldn't, they would pick something up and they would, some debris or some piece of wood, planks or whatever, and they would use it to get off the ship and then they would kind of float themselves to the land, to the island. And it says everyone safely reached the shore. Now we hear that verse and we don't think it's much, but let me go back here. Verse 23, let's go back a little bit. Verse 23 says this, For this night an angel of the Lord, of the God I belong to and serve, stood by me and said, do not be afraid, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And look, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. God had already told Paul, you're going to make it. But not just you, that God's going to bless and graciously give to you all those that are in this ship. Not one will be spared. Not one will die. All will be spared. And what we read here, the scriptures later tells us that they all landed on the island safely. Now, sometimes we go, woo, that storm is over. Praise God, it's over. But I want to remind you that storms also can have a positive side. That storms that you go through, one, it strengthens your faith in God. If you do it the way you're supposed to, it will strengthen your faith in your walk with Jesus Christ. It will. Because I'm telling you, we've all been through storms, but there are some storms that are stronger than other storms. And if you don't know how to handle the smaller ones, you're not going to know how to handle the bigger ones. So our faith is one of those things that grows when we go through a storm, if we don't jump ship. Our faith will grow. But not only will our faith grow, there is something that God uses sometimes in a storm. It is a new door of opportunity. There's a new door of opportunity that would not happen if you did not go through a storm. And here's what we see. They go through this storm. They never knew they were going to go to a place, an island called Malta. They weren't planning on it. They didn't have it on their map. But God allowed this storm to happen, and they end up on an island on Malta. And on that island, we see Paul does amazing things. That God does amazing things through Paul. There's healings. There's all kinds of things done. And there's a Christianity overflow that happens in that place. God saw the people of Malta needed to hear the story and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for that to happen, sometimes we've got to go through a storm. We've got to go through a storm. But we don't like it. I don't like them. But I will tell you this, when you're in a storm, somehow it really puts life in perspective. It really lets us forget about the little things. We don't stress over the little things in a storm because something has got our attention. And in that storm, there is a place called the eye of the storm. You can be in a storm, but in the eye of the storm, you're in the middle of it, and it is just as calm as can be. And that's exactly where God is. You never carried yourself out of the storms. God did. And even people that do not believe in Jesus Christ have been in storms with Christians and have had the blessing of what a believer and their prayer life has done, and God has graciously helped those unsaved non-Christian people and allowed them to live longer and to be blessed through a storm and keep them safe, because God's people were also a part of that. So if storms can lead to new opportunities, then we should not be afraid of storms. If God said He'll never leave you or forsake you, then we should not be afraid of storms. There's a scripture that is amazing. It's a good piece. It is in Psalms. And it says, "Weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning." We may go through times of darkness that may last a night or a few nights, but through God, joy will come in the morning. It will come at some time. God will give you relief. God will give you a peace. But He is the only one that can give that to you. The only one that can give that to you. Why is it when you lose a loved one? Why is it that we cry? Why is it that we mourn? Why is it that we get a little discouraged when we lose a loved one? Because it's part of life. It's how God built us. And the non-Christian goes through that and sees those things of death. He sees those things of words like cancer and other diseases, and going through times of loss of jobs and loss of homes and a broken marriage and those things. And they see those, and they never see the light. But you take a Christian who's walking with God, knows, and going through those same things. They are going through the same pains and personal hurts as those who don't know Christ, who don't know God, but there is something different. There is a hope that never ends. There is a hope that is everlasting. There is a strength, and that strength only comes through Jesus Christ. And they bear down and they say, "That's my anchor. That's what holds me through the storm. That's what gets me through. God is my light. God is my way. And through it all, I can also go through the pains, but I can still lift my hands and say, 'Praise God. God, I'm loving you today. My heart's broken, but I'm loving you with a broken heart today. I'm serving you with brokenness today. I'm serving you with my heart is broken. My mind is all over the place. I've got things going through my mind. I've had wrong thoughts in my mind, but I'm leaning on you today. I'm laying them all for you. I don't know how I'm going to make it through, but I know you have a way. I don't understand this problem. I don't understand what's in front of me. I don't know how to fix it, but it's all you. I can't do it. Here it is. Here's my hands. I don't know. Use me, God. I don't care what it is. Just touch me today. I need a blessing. I need you to breathe on me. I need you to brush up against me. Do not forget me. Lord, here I am. I am your servant. I gave you my life. Remember when you were saved. I've seen these things, but today I'm just not feeling you. But my faith is I know you're here. And I thank you for what you had before me. And I'm going to praise you because I'm dust. From the dust I came. The Bible says, the dust you shall return. For you brought nothing into this earth, and you shall take nothing out. From the dust we came, the dust we shall return. If we're going through a storm, let me tell you, the creator of the oceans and the Adriatic Sea, if he's created all these things, don't you think he can hold a storm in the palm of his hand? And say, as he said in the book of Job, and this far ocean you can go no more. Even nature obeys God because he is the creator of nature. God said this. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you wherever you are. This is what I believe today. I believe some of you are coming out of a storm. You have to praise God for that. Some of you keep those storms quiet. Some of them are big and you can't keep them quiet. But some of you are coming out of a storm. But some of you are heading into a storm and you see it. And you're nervous about it. You stick to God and God will see you through. Then you get a testimony to share about how awesome God is. Some of you are getting ready to go through a storm, and you don't see it coming, but it's coming. Because you notice in life, we don't always have sunny days. We don't always have 75-degree weather. I know some of you don't like that. We'd rather have 65, but 75-degree weather and sunshine with not a cloud in the sky, and you're on the beach. Well, you know we have less of those days, don't we? There's those cloudy days. But not only is some of you coming out of a storm, some of you heading into a storm, some of you don't know a storm is coming, but there's some of us that are in a storm right now. And those waves just keep beating, and you're like, how long are they going to keep beating on me? God, do you see my ship? I don't know if I can stand any longer. How much longer? But I want to tell you, you just keep talking to God. You just keep talking to him. Because the more you talk to him, the more your faith is coming out. You know why I know about storms? Listen. Jesus walks on them. Did you get that? Jesus walks on storms. I want to be like Peter. I'm going to call out his name, and Jesus lets you walk on a storm too. And they got in the boat and they said, who is this that the waves obey him? He's the Son of God. He's God. I think God is telling us today not to give up, but expect some storms. Now I want to tell you this. The lost do reap some benefits of being around Christians. And maybe some lives have been extended because of that. But in the end, when a man stands before God, a woman stands before God, there will be no Christians sitting there that you can lean on. There'll be you standing before God. And the Bible says, he that had the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life, which means you need to have Jesus Christ. You need to have Jesus Christ, not a Christian next to you, but you need to have the Jesus Christ, which means we have all fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all need to be saved. If you have not been saved, then you're already, your whole life is a storm. You have moments of light, but your whole life is a storm, and your ship will go down in the end. And you will not survive. Some of you need to step up your relationship with God and in the church. Maybe it's time to join the church and say, you know what? My opinions may not be the same as the church, but Jesus says, I am to love the church. Even though we know that's the bigger church, but God has chosen this type of vessel, a church built for us to worship in. Why would we want to slam the door on that if there's a membership part of that? Now, that doesn't get you to heaven, but it's following God's word. Following in baptism. We do that. We're supposed to follow Jesus Christ in baptism. We're going to stand. We're going to let God do whatever He's going to do this morning.